I am an African. I owe my being to the hills and the valleys, the mountains and the glades, the rivers, the deserts, the trees, the flowers, the seas, and the ever-changing seasons that define the face of our native land. My body has frozen in our frosts and in our latter-day snows. It has thawed in the warmth of our sunshine and melted in the heat of the midday sun. The crack and the rumble of the summer thunders, lashed by startling lightning, have been a cause both of trembling and of hope. The fragrances of nature have been as pleasant to us as the sight of the wild blooms of the citizens of the veld. The dramatic shapes of the Drakensberg, the soil-colored waters of the Ligwa, Igqili, Nothugelo, and the sands of the Kalahari have all been panels of the set on the natural stage on which we act out the foolish deeds of the theater of the day. At times, and in fear, I have wondered whether I should concede equal citizenship of our country to the leopard and the lion, the elephant and the springbok, the hyena, the black mamba, and the pestilential mosquito. A human presence among all of these, a feature on the face of our native land just defined, I know that none dare challenge me when I say I am an African. Bye.
coronavirus tests and more than 12 million screenings. This is much more than what many other countries, especially on our continent, have been able to do. There are nearly 60,000 community health workers who have been going door to door across the country to identify possible cases of coronavirus. In preparation for the expected increase in infections, around 20,000 hospital beds have been and are being repurposed for COVID-19 cases. There are 27 filled hospitals that are being built around the country. A number of these hospitals are ready to receive coronavirus patients. At the same time, we have experienced several challenges, including a shortage of diagnostic medical supplies such as test kits, as a result of the great demand for these supplies across the world. This has contributed to lengthy turnaround times for coronavirus testing, which in turn has had an impact on the effectiveness of our programs. But we are attending to this. The scale and the speed of the public health response to this emergency has been quite impressive, but there is still much more that we still need to do. We have known all along that the lockdown would only delay the spread of the virus, but that it would not be able to stop it. Until there is a vaccine available to all, the coronavirus will continue to spread in our population. This means that we must get used to living with this coronavirus. Start of this crisis. We have also sought the advice of the Ministerial Advisory Committee that advises our Minister of Health on COVID-19, who are a group of highly qualified, respected and experienced scientists, clinicians and epidemiologists, as well as public health experts. We are extremely grateful for the work that this Ministerial Advisory Committee has been able to do and continue to do to ensure that our response is informed by the best available scientific evidence. We appreciate the diverse and sometimes challenging views of the scientists and health professionals in our country, which stimulate public debate and enrich our response, and we respect that. We have also been guided by advice from the World Health Organization and the Africa Center for Disease Control and Prevention, which is part of the African Union. As we are dealing with a pandemic that affects the lives and the livelihoods of all South Africans, it was important that we consult as widely as possible. These consultations have been both necessary and worthwhile in that we received several constructive suggestions. These suggestions have enriched the thinking in government, providing a direct view of the challenges that our people in different constituencies confront. The groups we consulted are as diverse and as varied as the South African people themselves. All of them agree that we acted appropriately and decisively to slow the spread of the virus. They are all united in their insistence that our central goal must be to save lives and to protect livelihoods. While there are several areas of difference, all of these groups are in broad agreement in the approach we need to take to build on the gains that we have made thus far.
I owe my being to the koi and the sun whose desolate souls haunt the great expanses of the beautiful Cape. They who fell victim to the most merciless genocide our native land has ever seen. They were the first to lose their lives in the struggle to defend our freedom and independence, and they who as a people perished in the result. Today, as a country, we keep an audible silence about these ancestors of the generations that live, fearful to admit the horror of the former deed, seeking to obliterate from our memories a cruel occurrence, which needs remembering, should teach us not and never to be inhuman again. migrants who left Europe to find a new home on our native land. Whatever their own actions, they remain still part of me. In my veins courses the blood of the Malay slaves who came from the East. Their proud dignity informs my bearing, their culture a part of my essence. The stripes they bore on their bodies from the lash of the slave master are a reminder embossed on my consciousness of what should not be done. I am the grandchild of the warrior men and women that incense in Kukuni land. Patriots that Tetrayo and Mpeku took to battle. The soldiers were Shreshwen Ngunyane taught never to dishonor the cause of freedom. My mind and my knowledge of myself is formed by the victories that are the jewels in our African crown. The victories we earned from Isandlwana to Akru, as Ethiopians, as the Ashanti of Ghana, as the Berbers of the desert. I am the grandchild who lays flowers on the Boer graves at St. Helena, the Bahamas, and the Faroe Islands. Who sees in the mind's eye and suffers the suffering of a simple peasant folk, death, concentration camps, destroyed homesteads, a dream in ruins. Thank you.
English press, comrades and friends, today all are stood by our presence here and by our celebrations in other parts of our country and the world, confirm glory and hope to move on with us. Out of the experience of an extraordinary human disaster that lasted too long, must be born a society of which all humanity will be proud. Our daily goods as ordinary South Africans has produced an actual South African reality that will reinforce humanity's belief in justice, strengthen its confidence in the nobility of the human soul, and sustain all our hopes for a glorious life for all. All this we owe both to ourselves and to the peoples of the world who are so well represented here today. To my compatriots, I have no hesitation in saying that each one of us is as intimately attached to the soil of this beautiful country as are the famous jacaranda trees of Pretoria and the mimosa trees of the bushland. Each time one of us touches the soil of this land, we feel a sense of personal renewal, national mood, changing as the seasons change. We are moved by a sense of joy and exhilaration when the grass turns green and the flowers bloom. That's the ritual and physical wonder we all share with this common home. Explains that the depth of the pain we all carry in our hearts as we saw our country tear itself apart in terrible conflict. And as we saw it stand outlawed and isolated by the peoples of the world, precisely because it has become the universal base of the pernicious ideology and practice of racism and racial oppression. We, the people of South Africa, feel fulfilled that humanity has taken us back into its bosom, that we were outlawed not so long ago, and we pay to give them the rare tribute to the host of the nations of the world on our own soil. We thank all our distinguished international guests for having come to take possession with the people of our country. What is, after all, a common victory for justice, for peace, for human dignity?
Mr. Afro Deep.
That you will continue to stand by us as we tackle the challenges of building peace, prosperity, non-sexism, non-racialism, and democracy. We deeply appreciate the role that the masses of our people and their political, mass democratic, religious, women, youth, business, traditional and other leaders have played a big part of this community, not least amongst them is my second deputy president, the Honorable F. Robert Wood. We would also like to pay tribute to our security forces. All the work of the distinguished board, they have made according to the best democratic enough and decision to democracy. The proud of the force, which still refuse to see the light. The time for the healing of the wounds has come. The moment to breathe, the chasm that divides has come. time to win is upon us. We have a plan that brings our political responsibility. We pledge ourselves to